Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
It's Thursday, April 27th, 2017, and this is episode 120 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and today joining me all the way from Florida is Eric Nathanson. Eric, what's up, man?
I'm just all excited about Christian Arroyo over here. I got kid fever.
I know. Like, what is he? He's called Boss Baby now. That's his new, nickname. What is it?
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. I wanted to talk about that, but we don't have to dwell into it too much. But
I just got the kid on my mind right now. It's like every time, oh, the kid's up. The kid's, you know, and I'm not going to stop calling him the kid for a while because he's a baby. He's 21.
Yeah, no, Kung Fu Panda was a great nickname. That stuck. It was a good movie. Boss Baby wasn't such a great movie, so I don't know if this is going to stick, but we'll see. The people over at DreamWorks or whoever made that probably like that, though. TortureCast's founder, one of the founders anyway, Willie Gregory, should be joining us shortly, so hopefully we'll get some insights from him. It's been a while. He's, of course, the aspiring, budding podcaster, streamer on Twitch, does all sorts of stuff out there, and so he's very, very busy now doing that as his full-time passion and income. So Eric and I, this is just a hobby for us, so we try to squeeze time in when we can amongst all of our activities. Hopefully he'll be joining us soon. We wanted to record Monday, didn't work out. So it's been about 10 days since we last recorded at 119. Since then, they split in KC and they were unfortunately swept in Colorado. And that was the first sweep at the hands of the Rockies since 2002. Of course, that year they won the National League. So you can kind of look at that as a silver lining. And they've won 2 of 3, against the Dodgers so far. The game is going on right now as we speak. It's in the top of the third, and it's 1-0 Dodgers. Corey Seager, on his 23rd birthday, hit an opposite field home run on an 0-2 count off of Matt Moore. He threw it right down the middle. So we'll get to Matt Moore in a little bit. Yeah. So we got to, you know, still have a chance today. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, I had another stat about that Colorado series. They lost 2 games back-to-back by 8 or more runs for the first time in 10 years.
Oh,
and the last time they did it was also against Colorado in Colorado, but it had been 10 years since they'd lost back-to-back games by 8 or more runs.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, it sounds like you're going to do that in Colorado.
Right.
It's just a crazy place. You see that game with the Nationals and Rockies a couple of days ago, night?
It was like Broncos Redskins instead of it was 15-12 final or something like that. Yeah.
Well, it was like 15-6 at one point. It looked like the Nationals had it, and then suddenly it was 15-11. It was like, "Whoa, what's going on here?"
that was an insane score. Hits, and they just don't seem to stop if they, you know what I mean? They put together those big innings well.
They do. And it's one of those things where, you know, how the Giants, when they get those Matt Cain losses, when they get the caned losses where, you know, they lose 2-1, 1-0, they have the tying run, the winning run on base several times. I can't knock them in. Those are really debilitating losses. It's kind of funny. You don't want to lose 2 or 3 games in a row by 8 or more runs, but when you lose by 8 or more runs, you just kind of go, well, whatever, it's just a loss, right? Some reason, it doesn't hurt as much. You know, it's like, all right, they wiped the slate clean for tomorrow, but man, those tough, you know, blown saves like they had last year and the extra inning losses, those seem to linger a little bit longer. Of course, if you're blown out by 8 runs every day, that's a different story. Yeah.
Even that game, I think it was the Friday night where Story hit the grand slam and then the inside the park homer got past Pence. Yeah. Like, it all happened in that one inning. Other than that, the Giants played better and they were in a position to win the game. But because of the one wacky Coors Field inning, you know, they still ended up losing the game. It was a tough series in Colorado. It's been nice to see how they bounce back this week against the Dodgers. It's kind of they've had so much life sparked in them the last few days.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Last night's game was absolutely crazy. I think everybody assumed the worst. They were down 3-0 after seven, and it didn't. Sorry, it wasn't after seven. It was they were losing after seven. I guess the Arroyo home run was in the sixth, right?
Seventh.
Or was it in the seventh? It was it in the seventh. Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, they were down.
Because for some reason they yanked. For some reason, they yanked their pitcher. The guy was cruising, and mm-hmm. because Arroyo, but since Arroyo, what was it? Arroyo, three string of righties or something was coming up, so they decided to throw Sergio out there, and Arroyo took care of the rest.
Man, that was sweet. I don't know. First, Romo came in game one, or was it game? Yeah, I think it was game one.
Yeah, and, that was game one.
He allowed a couple of runners, but he got out of the inning. And his ERA, of course, is way up there. It's well above 8 or 9 right now. So he's not having a good start to the year. So it was just kind of nice. You know, I have no hard feelings against the guy. I don't. He had a very warm reception in the pregame ceremony in game one. And the Giants fans gave him a great warm welcome, and he kind of teared up. So I like to see all this. And we talked about it before. He didn't leave the Giants because he spiked the Giants. The Giants didn't want him. They told him as much. And you know, he grew up a Southern California Dodger fan. His whole family's a Dodger fan, and he had two offers, and the other one was to play in Florida. I guess it was with Tampa Bay. But, you know, he's like, look, why would I want to play in Tampa Bay? He's going to go play on the West Coast where his family is. And you have those two options. That's what he took. And if it's your hometown, you know, team, I mean, if I grew up a Giants fan and I ended up playing for the Dodgers, and then, you know, the Dodgers told me, yeah, we don't want you. And then you got two offers from the Giants or the Rays, and your whole West Coast or your whole family's on the West Coast. What are you going to do? Come on. It's an obvious choice.
That's a no-brainer. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. You know, it was nice. Yeah, it was nice to see the ovation he got. And it didn't take long, though. Okay, you know, good for you, Sergio. It didn't take long until last night to, you know, flip it around. And, you know, we're not happy that Arroyo did that off Sergio and the fact that Posey got a base hit right before it, too. We're not happy that it was off Sergio. We're just happy that it happened.
They're just happy
happened. Yeah, it doesn't matter that it was Sergio. It could have been anybody. And then to have Michael Morse come up, I mean, like, out of nowhere, I'm running some errands yesterday, and I happened to see that Span's going on the DL and no roster move had been mentioned yet. It was still early. And immediately I'm like, that means Morse is coming up. In my head, I didn't think he'd come in and make an impact like that right away. I mean, it's ridiculous what happened.
What? This is weird. They're showing a fan in the stands with a Dodger jersey and hat, and on the back of his jersey it says Arroyo and number 22.
Oh, wow.
I didn't hear the commentary on that because I have my television muted, but what the hell is that? Are you familiar with any Arroyo in the Dodgers organization over the past 20 years?
I am not. And I know this. I knew Christian because he's from down here. I was living in the Tampa area. There it is. I'm like, for those that don't know, I'm like 2 or 3 pitches behind because I'm going through the MLTV app. But Arroyo is from down here, and mm-hmm. he's the oldest in his family, as we saw this week. So it can't be anybody connected to him.
Odd.
That's kind of weird. It is. But Michael Morse is back, and he came back in a style like it was unbelievable. Like, that didn't feel like it really happened last night.
No, it felt like someone drew it up again. They wrote it up. They said, oh, this would be cool if this would happen. You know, kind of reminiscent. You know, it was a tying home run in the bottom of the eighth at AT&T Park, exactly like game 5 of the NLCS. I mean, it was almost identical. Solo shot, you know, the whole thing. And even his reaction was the same. The hands up in the air as he's going to first, you know. It was unbelievable to see that. And like you said earlier in the day, I was kind of blindsided by the news that he was called up. I didn't realize that Span was going to be put on the DL. And boom, he's called up, and he immediately, you know, impacts the game and, you know, brings him to the win. But there's something about Michael Morse. I know overall he's probably going to be up and down with the club. He'll probably be injured. He's not going to hit 20 bombs. He's going to hit 5 or 6, and he's going to hit 220. We know this is coming. But to see this guy at the end of his career, I think he's age 35, this is his last hurrah. He was just trying to make it back to the majors. He's bounced around since he was last with the Giants. And just to see him have at least another moment or so in the sun, it's great to see. Because the guy is just, he is fun to watch. He is one of those guys that truly loves the game, does not take it for granted, absorbs every minute he could ever, you know, be, every minute that he's ever been in the major leagues. And he just looks like a kid out there.
Yeah, you heard the story of how he even just got the invite to spring training. Hunter Pence's wedding, he and Bobby Evans were just talking, and apparently Bobby's the one that extended the invitation. Like, Morris wasn't lobbying for it or anything. You know, they were probably doing some reminiscing, like, oh, yeah, Morris probably said my favorite time was, you know, in orange and black. And Evans probably said, well, you know, you're looking pretty good. Can you still do it? And, you know, why don't you just come see what happens?
Yep.
I mean, if he doesn't... They talked about it, and the game ended, you know, with the Hunter Pence unbelievable at bat. That's the kind of game that, like, can totally turn a season around. Because that at bat, in and of itself, like, I love how everybody was just cracking up by the end of the at bat. Like, we all knew that the Giants were going to win at that point. It was bases loaded, nobody out. There's no way somebody's not going to lift a fly ball. But, like, just Hunter just kept hacking and hacking and hacking the higher the pitches got.
Oh God, that was so bizarre. But yeah, Michael Morris, man, you know, I think it was Hunter Pence's wife who tweeted out a photo last night. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing, but it was a great black and white picture. And you know how last night after he hit the home run, he came in and he rubbed his head on Pence's shoulder? There's this great shot from the wedding. They're both dressed up in their tuxes and he has his head resting, literally resting on Pence's shoulder with this big grin. It was just it's a sweet picture. It's just a moment. And I think she said something to, you know, this is how the reunion started or how it began again or whatever. And everybody's, you know, thanking Hunter and Lexi for inviting him to the wedding because that's what kind of precipitated this. But, yeah, just an incredible win. And I know it's just one out of 162 and they could lose another seven in a row. But as Giants fans, it's just so fun to watch, even if they don't make the playoffs this year. The little moments like that make you appreciate being a fan because these are the little moments that mean so much to all of us.
Especially the way the last week and a half, just the way the season's been going. I mean, we're going to touch on it in a minute, but right before that Colorado series, Bumgarner went down, and then they got absolutely hammered by Colorado. And then the week started by calling up the kid and getting some lifeblood. Like, they just look like a different team. Like, there was a different feel the last few nights than there has been for the rest of the season. Like, this could be that moment that kind of gets them going a little bit. You know, there's a human element. We talk about it. There's a human element to the game, and that might be what had to be turned on for the Giants was that human element. They might not have been doing it.
We know the Giants have relied on chemistry for God knows how many years. By the way, Kevin Durant sitting next to Larry Bear at the park today, so that's fun. But yeah, you're right. It's one of these things where the Giants rely on chemistry, and they haven't had it lately because of not only the injuries to Posey and Bumgarner, which we'll get to, and everything else. The Giants have just hit a brick wall in terms of luck, bad luck right now. Not in just a couple of games here and there, but just their injuries and what's been going on. The good thing is it's still early in the season, and every single team faces a stretch of 20 games, 25 games where they're well under 500. Even the best teams do this. It's just so happens the Giants have started the season like this, and they've dug themselves a big hole. I mean, they're 7 games back of the Rockies. Now, I don't think the Rockies are going to sustain that. I do still think that it's going to be the Dodgers and the Giants floating to the top, but you never know. I mean, sometimes teams come out of nowhere to compete, so...
I like this Rockies team, to be honest. Yeah, I like this Rockies team. I'm kind of scared that they're gonna be decent. Their lineup's good top to bottom, and we saw a lot of good young pitchers over the last couple of weeks when we saw nothing but the Rockies.
No, they've had some good pitching performances. I agree. Yeah.
Yes. So they might be in there for a little bit.
So yeah, you mentioned Pence's crazy at bat. I mean, I was watching it. It was just crazy because you're thinking, bases are loaded with nobody out. He takes a couple of these pitches, and it's ball four. Now, you know, here's the caveat that everybody was complaining. Why aren't you letting all these go? It'd be ball four by now. Well, okay, if he got to 2-2 or 3-2, he's not throwing that high fastball. He's not trying to walk him. He clearly was doing that intentionally. He was trying to get Pence to chase it. You look at the at-bat app of the strike zone. Oh, my God, it's so funny. You get all those red foul balls well above the strike zone. There's like 6 of them, right, all clustered together. I mean, that's what he was trying to do. So, yeah, if he'd gotten to 2-2, 3-2, and you saw it, the 3-2 pitch, he's not going upstairs. So I think for everyone who is complaining that, oh, if you just let those go, it would have been ball four. Nah, the whole butterfly effect, it would have been a different at-bat. Who knows what would have happened. But to the fact that he kept up with the 95-mile-an-hour cheese up at his shoulders just was incredible. I mean, that is it's tough to do once or twice, but five or six times in an at bat? I mean, that's just stupid.
That's crazy bat control because, I mean, it's harder to get your hands up for a high fastball. Just the nature of a swing and your hands are going to be going downwards. So you have to keep your hands up and keep control of the bat head to at least, especially the way he was swinging in the tomahawk fashion, to at least put it through, you know, the hitting zone where the ball is at. It takes amazing strength in the wrist and the hands for him to even make contact over and over and over again. And he said he kept waiting for the breaking pitch. It just never came, and he was just reacting every time. I hadn't seen anything like that, like, I don't think ever. I kind of wish it had ended in a walk because it would have been the funniest walk I'd ever seen.
That would have been, and everyone would have mobbed him just for that. It was great to see the Giants dugout. I mean, here is the game is on the line. You figure everyone's like stressed out and like, oh, can we do this? Everyone's laughing and loose and just having fun with the at bat. I mean, they're not even mad. They're not like, Pence, what are you doing? They're laughing at him. They're like, oh, he can handle this. This is fun. This is fun. And there's this great gif of, I think Carmen Q put it out there, where afterwards there was a hug or two out on the field. And in the background, you see Eduardo Nunez, and he's doing the impression of Hunter Pence. He's swinging like at his shoulders. He's talking to another player, right? And he's like, I can't believe that he did this. And he's like swinging at his shoulders. Because even these professional athletes were completely amazed and astounded that Hunter Pence kept up with all that high cheese. So anyway, he got the sack fly. They won the game, so everyone was very happy last night. Great game.
So they're going for a series win. They could take 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers here and kind of just start going on that positive path now because they've only won one series all season long.
Yeah, they have. It's 1-0 in the top of the fourth right now, so they still, you know, they're still in this game. So one thing that Hank Schulman tweeted out last night is the Giants were 0-13 when trailing after 7 until last night. So, I mean, most of the time you're going to lose those games anyway, but it was at least nice to erase that 0. Because the Giants certainly are not undefeated when leading after 7. So they had a few losses. They need to kind of even that ledger, don't they?
Well, they're leading after 7. They're 6-1. Tied, though. Trailing after 6, they were 0-12. Trailing after 7, they were 0-13. So they still haven't done the, you know, 8th and 9th inning comeback yet. Right. But it's a step in the right direction.
Very much so. Very much so. All right. So we need to talk about it. I know it's been a week. And we were going to talk about it Monday when it was a little more fresh, so we won't go too far into it because I'm sure all of you have thought about this, heard about it, and heard, you know, talk radio and read as much as you can. But we just want to throw in our 2 cents about Bumgarner's accident. Of course, as you know, last Thursday was an off day in Colorado, and he went and rode a dirt bike and crashed it and landed on his shoulder and ribs, bruised the ribs, had a grade 2 strain on his ligaments in his shoulder, which is his pitching arm, and he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. He came back to AT&T Park in a sling, and of course he faced the media, and he owned up to it. Bochy also had said, you know, he's obviously very remorseful, and he is, and I get it. We all think of him, and he is, this Paul Bunyan-type character, who wields an axe and drives his big pickup truck and you know, lifts, you know, 2,000 pounds at his yard or his barn in North Carolina. But
he's raising hay bales over his head. Sorry.
Yeah, we see all the commercials and all that for the clothing company. But, you know, I got to admit, I mean, it's reminiscent of Jeff Kent, not in the excuse because he didn't make an excuse, but it's like, this is during the season, man. What are you thinking? And this is clearly prohibited in the contract, which the Giants aren't going to do anything about it. Why would they? But, man, what do you think? I mean, he's still young. You know, he's much younger than you and me. What do you think for a guy like who might, and I'm not saying he thinks he's indestructible. I don't think, because he doesn't have that kind of ego. But he certainly has a machismo about him, which is different than an ego, right? Because he doesn't care what people think about him. But he's a tough guy. Right. And so what do you think went through his head in terms of, gee, it's an off day, I pitch later, and now I'm going to ride a dirt bike, which is prohibited in my contract. I'll be fine. I know what I'm doing. I mean, what do you think? We can only surmise.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know he wasn't thinking about the fact that it's prohibited by contracts.
Yeah.
You know, he was just frustrated. I mean, he hasn't gotten a win yet this year. He's not pitched particularly great in a couple of his outings. And you got to figure it was, you know, he just wanted a day away from baseball, away from people, you know. And Colorado, the foothills of Colorado is a great place to, you know, go off-road biking and see different things. So I'm sure he knows. I'm sure he didn't think like he should have. You know, he's a young kid, like you said, and there's certain things that you don't realize until you live through it yourself. And I think that was one of those choices for him. And it was a dumb choice. It was a stuff happens moment. You know, he talked about the accident. It wasn't like he was doing anything crazy. The bike just kind of fell out from under him as he was, I believe it was coming around a curve. And he mm-hmm. went one way and the bike went the other way, which, you know, is understandable. I also have no problem with the Giants not doing anything as far as his contract, because they're going to have to talk contract extension if he comes back healthy. And they're going to continue printing money off of the back of Madison Bumgarner. So there's no reason to penalize a guy, because all you're going to do is screw the long-term relationship that you've laid a great base with this guy. So you can't really do much. The Giants' hands are tied because they have to. All you can hope is that he recovers. And with the way he throws the ball across his body, I have concerns that, you know, he might not come back, you know, as sharp right away, and it might take a while for him to really get it back. It might be reminiscent of when he lost his pitching feel towards the end of 2012. And he was shaky in like August and September of that year, so much so that they like pulled him from the rotation, and Rigetti and him had to rework his delivery because of the way he throws across his body. I worry about that shoulder. So it's a dumb mistake that hurts not just him, it hurts the team. And I think that kind of stuff teaches him the lesson, but it sucks. It happened, and Giants have to move forward. And Ty Block tried to help do that the other night.
I think they should build him a dirt bike track in AT&T Park.
Willie is back.
They took out the kids' park out in left field, so they should put in his own little dirt.
Tiny Madison Bumgarner dirt bike track, because he's been paid nothing for years. What's up, guys?
How's it going, Willie, man? Welcome back to your creation. Your baby.
It's good to be back, yes. It's weird because... this season has been very strange for me, because I was very excited before it started. And then I live in Austin now, for anybody who isn't familiar. But the Warriors are, you know, in the midst of a playoff run and looking like the best team in the NBA again. And then here comes the Giants season. I'm really excited. And then it's like terrible. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to focus on this Warriors thing for a little bit. And it's not easy here because I have to seek out the game, right? I have to seek out the Giants game. So, like, I still get the alert, and then I can go and I can stream it. But if I'm at a bar or something, the Giants game just isn't on, right?
No.
Right. So, it's tough keeping up. Like, I respect Eric for being able to do it for so long from another place. But I feel like I'm walking in on a disaster every time I look at the Giants and what's going on with them.
Well, it's because most of the games have been disasters. I mean, your eyes aren't lying.
It was crazy because it was just like one thing after another. So this is, I mean, look, I know you guys have talked about some of this stuff already, but coming in fresh, it was just like one thing after another. It was like, oh, this guy's hurt. Oh, Buster Posey got hit in the head. Oh, really? Oh, my God. Like, it was just like that, to me, was like the ultimate sign of this isn't good. Because I don't know. Buster Posey had the one terrible thing. And then you can kind of rely on him, right? He'll be there. He'll be dinged up. But getting hit in the friggin' head with a fastball, I was like, oh, this is just a terrible sign. And then now it's like I look yesterday, and then, of course, Madison Bumgarner. And I'm getting all these just like alerts on my phone. It's not like I'm like hearing about it at the water cooler at work, right? So basically my phone is just like my biggest nemesis right now. It's every time it buzzes at me, I'm like, oh, who fell off a boat now? You know, it's like I look and then Madison Bumgarner thing happens. And then I look today and it's like, oh, Span's going to the DL. This guy's coming up. We're going to this guy. I'm like, what in the world is happening? I mean, I'm glad that Morse is coming back, but that's like the one little nugget of fun in like just a sea of sadness. So welcome back to Torture Cast, where we just now pure torture.
A sea of sadness. There you go. You got the title. Sea of sadness.
Yep. Torture is usually, coined for the tough one-run games that they win. You know, we're all sweating bullets till the end. And right now, no, the torture is literally physical torture on the Giants themselves. I mean, it's
actual
been
pain.
Seven in one-run games. They are not good at that.
Jeez, yeah. Man.
No, it's been insane, and I know it's rough for you to watch it in Austin. The mood here in the Bay Area is not a very good one, and much like your distraction of the Warriors, that's kind of where most of the people are kind of heading, because everyone kind of goes, well, it's early for the Giants. Yeah, they suck right now. We'll just kind of ignore them until they start getting better.
That's kind of my attitude right now is I'm gonna keep up with what's going on from a distance. And I'll tune into games, but I'm not going to do the thing where I turn the game on, and I sit down, and I'm like locked in, right? Which is how I usually watch Giants games, because it's making me sad. So what I'll do is I'll keep an eye on what's going on. I'll turn them on, like maybe in the sixth inning, or I'll turn it on if I want to watch like I wanted to watch Ty Block pitch. Right. There's like a specific thing that I'm like, okay, this game I want to watch this thing. But outside of that, it's like so weird for me to be like, I'm not really going to focus on this. And the Warriors have been great. A fantastic distraction. They're just like unstoppable in the toaster era of 2017. So that's great. But yeah, it's
well, like
it's
last
really
night
like the Giants are my first love. Right. So it's tough.
It is tough. You know, I'm sitting in my office here. It's plastered with Giants paraphernalia everywhere. I'm a huge dedicated fan. Remember the good times. This may be it. But, like last night's game against the Dodgers, obviously your interest has peaked with the Dodgers. And, it was a great game last night. I was watching it. But no matter how thrilling it was, and it was a fantastic ending, and it was great to see Michael Morris and Christian Arroyo and all these people come through, even Gorky's Hernandez, which we were joking with the Sly Show that, only he could ground into a double play. And I said, no, I think he'll ground into a triple play, even though there's only two possible outs. shit like that. That's how unlucky they seem to be.
Gorky's is like the guy where I'm like, every time I open up the app and see like what the injury list looks like, I'm like, well, Gorky's still healthy as hell.
He's still healthy. So,
at least we got Gorky's.
Yeah, maybe the DL is actually a good thing for him. But, even after all of that last night and they win, it's a great emotional win. Like 10 minutes afterwards, I was like, well, shit, they're still 8-14. yay.
Long ways to go, yeah.
Long ways to go. But, it's a long season. And, we mentioned at the top of the show that every team goes through a 20-game stretch like this. It's just that they started the season like this. Let's hope that they don't continue this trajectory.
Well, last year they had one of the worst stretches of baseball I've ever seen in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And still made the playoffs. So maybe they're just having that worst stretch of baseball at the beginning of the season.
I hope so, because this is the fourth straight month they're going to have a losing record.
Oh, wow. Oh. Yeah,
they had July, August, September, and then now they're going to have a losing one.
Remember the beginning
that
of last
That kind of scares
year?
Me a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, man. What? That was so cool.
Oh, God, yeah, the best record at the All-Star break last year. They looked unstoppable. Yep. Looked like 2012.
Yeah, since then.
Better than the Cubs, and since then they've been barely better than the. I don't know who's bad.
Who's worse than them since then?
The Royals. It
can't be anybody, right?
No, the Royals. The Royals are like, here they are in the World Series with the Giants a few years ago, and they, they're awful this year. So maybe it's the curse of 2014 World Series,
right? So
split with them.
Barely. It took them 11 innings.
So we just talked about Bumgarner's decision, so we don't need to rehash that because it's been a week.
The real thing, though, is I think the Giants are – I'll just interject, like you said, Eric. The Giants are making the right decision by not making any real punishment because he's getting paid just dirt, right, for how good he's been. So, and he gets it, right? He gets it. He understands he made a mistake. He'll still be doing this crazy stuff in the offseason. Just don't do it during the season, and we're good, right?
No, that's it. I mean, they're not going to do anything to him. If it was some schmuck, some utility guy who did this, they might, take a little pay from him or whatever. But they're not going to do that with Bumgarner because they don't want to build any ill will. They want to sign this guy long term. But I will say that it probably puts off any potential negotiations they might have had in the next month or two because they got to see how he's going to respond after this injury. Because one of the concerns I've seen from physical therapists and orthopedic surgeons is when you stretch out that ligament, those ligaments in the shoulder, it can, not always, it can lead to something called hypermobility, and where you just, the ligaments are a little looser, and that's not necessarily a good thing for a pitcher, especially since he's a slingshot kind of pitcher. Sure. So he needs to be able to find that same groove and have the same motion, and if there's any differentiation in the length of his ligaments or the flexibility of his ligaments, it could really affect that throw. Now, I like to think
incredible
it's
that he
like,
landed on his friggin' pitching arm. Right?
Oh, I know, right?
When I fall off of a bike, I always land on my ass or my face. So
yeah, it would have been great if he just like got a concussion and like scraped his face up. At least his arm would be fine.
Know, yeah, just like hurt a leg a little bit or something. Like, but no, the pitching arm.
But then I imagined like that old movie from the early 90s, The Rookie. Kid breaks his arm and then suddenly he can throw two miles an hour.
Superpowered.
Yeah, so maybe that'll happen to him. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just it's funny that he's never been on the disabled list and it took him being a dumbass to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that was really troubling, there's a lot of numbers that are troubling, but the Giants have gone 9 up, 9 down. Well, there could be a hit in there, but without a hit to start 4 of the last 9 games, including last night. And, I mean, they're just getting no production overall, but specifically in the first 3-4 innings of the game. I mean, they're just virtually nothing, so their offense is kind of relegated to what can we do the last half of the game. And that's what happened
last night.
That
also means you're always playing comeback, right?
Yeah.
You're always behind.
And then you have to face those good relievers at the end. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get that pitcher on the second time through... last night was the first night they actually were able to get to a bullpen.
Well, think about this too. The you know, this is something Kruko always talks about. Pitching with a lead is a lot easier for a starter, right? So if you have a couple run lead, you can make decisions that are different, which make you able to last longer. You don't have to pitch for strikeouts as often. You can pitch to contact. You can't do that when you're behind. You got to get out. So when we're putting pressure on our own staff that way, and we've talked about, or I don't know, you guys talked about, I listened to some of the stuff, but we talked about. The Giants pitching has not been up to par this year. Oh. Maybe it's just because the offense has been sucking and they're all trying to carry the load, right?
That's like, the thing.
The starting pitching has not been very good.
Yeah, so
that's true. But working with a lead makes you look better, you know? Like, you give up 3 runs and your team wins 5-3, you get a win. But you give up 3 runs and your team loses 0-3, then you look bad.
Yeah,
that's how Cueto was getting wins at the beginning of the season. It made him look a little bit better than he was doing because he's been prone to leaving balls right over the middle of the plate lately.
Sure.
Yeah, the big concern, of course, were the relievers, the closer, and you know, the left fielder at the beginning of the season. And that's kind of what happened the first week of the season. But since then, it's kind of morphed into pretty much everything hitting the shit, you know? And here's a great example. It's not just the pitching. It's not just the hitting. It's everything. The Giants are 25th in the majors in batting average with a .233. They're 26th in on-base percentage, 27th in slugging, 28th in OPS, 29th and last in the NL in home runs with 15. They're 25th in runs. But here's the pitching. You go, okay, well, the offense is bad. What about the pitching? No. 24th in ERA, and starters are 26th. Including 13th in the NL, third to last at 4.72. So, I mean, it's just bad all around. I mean, this is what formulates an 8-14 record. You know, they put so much money into their starting rotation, and even Bumgarner, who hasn't been horrible, he had a 3.0 ERA, so he's been fine. He's had no offensive support, but Cueto's been a little subpar after the first couple of starts. Matt Moore has been kind of very disappointing so far, although he's doing okay today. Then Jeff Samardzija. Ugh. Jeff Samardzija. He is just, he's one of those guys, he's always been inconsistent. He has a couple of great starts, a couple of bad starts, and he ends up with a 4-point-something ERA, but he's not had a good start yet.
Nope.
No, not at all.
And he doesn't even look good. He's out there. He's just looks like he's throwing BP half the time. It's great because he goes out and he chucks it up there like 97 sometimes, and then all of a sudden he, you know, just decides, oh, let's let the guy hit the ball. For some reason, I think Samardzija needs to be dropped to the 5 spot, and Kane needs to start moving up that rotation.
Yeah, Kane's actually looked great, which that came out of kind of nowhere, right?
He's their best pitcher right now.
Yeah, he's rocking sub-3 ERA, and it's weird. He's kind of kind of gotten to the point in his career where he figured out how to not be a power pitcher anymore, right? Because that's got to be a struggle when you go from, and he was never like overpowering pitch. He wasn't a guy throwing like super heat, but he's always a guy who relied on like spotting that fastball. Now he has to rely on like a little bit more. And well, that's a transition.
Kruk and Kipe were talking about it the other night when he came into the league. Like, you remember the Matt Cain of old, he had that real biting curveball, and then he kind of lost it as he became a power pitcher. He's got it again. He's used it, and he's used it really well over his last few starts. It's like watching Matt Cain of old. It really is.
His thing was always, for a long time, was always, oh, he you know, throws that fastball in the spot where he gets these pop-ups and stuff, right? And now suddenly he's actually going back to what was one of the things I loved about him, was that big curveball, that giant that he could locate really well. So yeah, this is, it's kind of nice to watch him have a renaissance, because it was sad. You know, any of these guys, like when Lincecum, you know, what happened with him, it was just sad to watch, like, these guys who carried our team in entire years, right? And then suddenly were kind of just afterthoughts in the rotation. So this is really fun for me to watch this, at least. If there's a bright, shining moment right now, it's that, and that Michael Morse is batting 1,000.
I was going to say, I mean, without Matt Cain, everyone thought that he was going to be the weak link in the chain. And here he is. You know, if he hadn't been doing what he's doing, the Giants would be 3 games, you know, or 3 fewer wins this year so far. I mean, he has just been absolutely great. 2.42 ERA. And, you know, you kind of think, maybe he can he's not going to be Greg Maddux, but if he can adopt some of Greg Maddux's strategies about pinpoint control, if he can maintain that, he's going to be fine. But I think we're going to see quite a few bad starts from him, and he's going to snap back to reality. But we're going to take this as long as we can get it.
I don't know. I don't know that he is. I'm not kidding. I there's something about it. It looks like he can sustain this for a while. I'm sure there'll be, you know, times he gets blown up, but I think he's figured something out that he didn't have over the last couple of years when he came back from injury. Just something clicked, some pitch, something. I think he might be good for a while.
I hope so, man. I really do. It's crazy because the guys who can pitch, you know, after they lose some of their ability, those guys kind of tend to have great second halves to their careers, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't happen to a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Cologne.
By the way, what do you think really is the problem with the offense? Because I look, it's like I keep looking. I'm like, well, Buster Posey's doing great. Hunter Pence doing fine. And is it just like Belt and Nunez are just dragging us down?
Well, no, because Belt's the only one taking walks.
He's not getting a lot of hits, though.
Not, I don't know.
No, he's also the only one hitting.
I'm not trying to defend him or anything, but
sure. No,
yeah. You know what? It's two thoughts. One, the Giants are walking less, so they are making pitchers work less. And two, they're just not putting the ball in play when they have guys on base. You know, they're getting the two guys on, but they're not getting the third one, and that probably goes to power and. You know, hitting balls to the gap, different those scenarios that drive in more runs. I think that's the only thing that's stopping them, is they're just not getting the clutch hit.
Yeah. Because we've, you know, in the past, like, there's been years where, like, Posey or Pence were kind of having a little bit of struggles at certain times. It felt like the whole offense got dragged down. But when those guys are actually doing okay, it's kind of weird to feel like we're struggling, because the other guys are going to kind of do what they do, right? And so, but then you look up and, like, no, we can't score. We just can't.
No, you're right. You know,
Posey's got a hitting streak or something like that.
Yeah, Posey's at 370. Pence is at 296. But after that, you kind of go, okay, Nunez 241, Belt 237. Crawford's not bad, 263. But I think the big product on that is that he started the year so hot. So the last 10 games, he's hitting way under 200. Joe Panik's doing great, 314. Then you get into leadoff hitter. You know, Span is hitting 200. I know he's on the DL now, but 200. Gorkys is at 143. Nick Hundley, 238. Chris Marrero, who, of course, was demoted, 132. That's why he was. Aaron Hill in 25 ABs, 120.
And these are all the guys who have the most ABs right now, too. So, like, you know, these,
So that's why it's been really, really tough. So, you know, guys like Christian Arroyo and Michael Morse are hopefully going to buoy the team here a little bit. But, I mean, how much can we actually expect out of these two guys? I mean, Morse has bounced around since he left the Giants. He's not going to hit 300 for them with 20 bombs this year. We know that.
What are you talking about? He hits a home run every time he comes up.
It'd be great. He'd be NL MVP.
This is statistical proof, man.
Yeah.
He's 1-for-1 so far.
With one home run. This is great. Yeah.
You know, and
so he's going to pinch hit for us like 60 times this year and have 60 home runs.
You know, and Christian Arroyo coming up. I mean, everybody thought there's no way this kid's going to be called up before September call-ups. And then, boom. I mean, that's how panicked I think Giants brass are. They're like, well, fuck it. Well, let's just bring him up now. Let's see what he can do.
What if he forced his way up, though? Like, what if he's like the early call-up who just ends up going great? Like,
Oh, he's going to be. This kid, I think he is. I'm so high on this kid. He's already got, like, he's only 21, and he's already got the look of a ball player. He's got decent plate discipline. He seems to be situationally aware, and he can.
Was he hitting in AAA, by the way? He was hitting like 400 or something.
Yeah, he was almost 500.
Jesus. Okay.
And it was his first time in AAA, right? And he wasn't brought up to sit on the bench either. He's going to start at third base.
Yeah.
When Crawford comes back, Nunez is going to be left field or a utility guy. The third base job is a Royals job to lose at this point.
Sweet. Oh, yeah. I'm in.
I totally agree with that. We'll see how he does. Yeah, so speaking of a Arroyo, lots of moves this past week. We got Arroyo Morse coming up. Stratton, who's actually looked pretty good, kind of looking more reminiscent of a first-round pick that he was. Drew Stubbs, Mr. Strikeout guy, but, you know, he's got good speed and good power.
Also, fantastic baseball name, by the way, Drew Stubbs.
Yeah, Drew Stubbs, exactly. Okert, Tomlinson, all called up. So, I mean, this roster already looks significantly different than it did after they broke camp. Span went to the DL, of course. That shoulder injury is a little bit worse than they thought. Crawford is on the bereavement list for his sister-in-law. Very tragic story. You know, his wife's sister passed away from an asthma attack at a pretty young age.
God.
So that was just devastating. So that's why he's out right now. But he may be out longer due to the groin strain that he suffered last night. So that remains to be seen because he's already, you know, out of town. Just, it's crazy, man. We're 20-something games into the season, and already the roster is completely transformed. And, you know, no guesses on what's going to happen over the next 30 days. But this is kind of a sign of a struggling team, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. Had they stayed stagnant and they hadn't, you know, shuffled around the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that they got rid of Marrero really made me feel good that they are totally willing to cut bait with any dead weight that's on the team right now. If Gorky is, you know, after he does his fill-in for a while, proves to not be worth his, you know, worth it anymore after Span's back and maybe Williamson comes up, then Gorky's will be gone too. They've shown the ability to change on the fly. And we've seen some of the best Giants teams in the history were a work in progress throughout the season. I mean, Melky Cabrera was the best player on the 2012 team to start the season, and then we haven't heard from him, you know? Right. So, you know, I mean, it's good that they did that. And I'm glad they didn't wait around to do it either. I'm glad it's not like May 15th and they're, you know, 10 games under 500 and decide to finally do something.
Yeah, yeah. I think stubbornness is not a virtue in baseball or professional sports at all. I mean, if things aren't working, you have, it's 162 games. It's a long season, but you definitely can't win, a division at the beginning, but you can lose it, man. You can go so far behind that there's no way to come back. So it's just do the stuff now. Try to find something, move some parts around, and if that doesn't work, hey, you tried at least. You did something, right? So you can move things back if need be. It's not like we were, you know, trading people or outright releasing people. It was just some movement and some DL stuff. So,
well, last year, the most they ever trailed the Dodgers was by 8 games. And the fact that they're 7 games behind in April is just...
Ugh. Yeah, that's not good.
It's not good. So, yeah, I agree. You can't win a division in April, but you can lose it in April and May, I'd say. I mean, if you get too far behind, you're double digits behind. You have too many teams to leapfrog, and it becomes very, very difficult. So we talked about Matt Cain, but I also wanted to talk about Ty Block because he's taken over for Madison Bumgarner for the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, or hopefully not any more than that. But Block, of course, last year was unbelievable down the stretch, and he performed very well against the Dodgers a couple of nights ago. Only allowed 2 runs through 6 or 7 innings, was fantastic. Got a double off of Kershaw. Apparently Bumgarner pulled him aside and said, "This is how I think he's going to pitch you. Look for a pitch in this location." That's exactly where it was, and he ripped the double off of it.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that. That's
awesome. Oh, yeah. It was a great little story. And here's what's funny about it is that Ty Block has 5 major league at-bats, and he has 3 hits, all 3 off of Clayton Kershaw.
Wow.
How is that possible?
That's super weird.
That's insane.
Yeah, like, what? Active pitchers. Yeah, on the active pitcher list, Bum has 4 hits off Kershaw, which is the most. And then Ty Block is 2nd on the list with 3. And then there's a bunch of pitchers tied with 2 hits off of Kershaw. And that's the list.
Yeah, and that's the list. I mean, there's some of these pitchers have 20 at-bats against him or more. And here's Ty Block with just a few at-bats, and he's got 3 hits off of him. So it's just insane.
But how many at-bats does Ty Block have like in his career? It seems like 5. A lot
those
of at-bats against at-bats. One guy.
Yeah,
no, he's 5 only, at-bats. That's it.
Yeah, that's
those
it,
the only
right?
2 games he started.
Why are they all? Why is he always pitching against Kershaw? What's going on with this guy?
They gave him the middle finger. I don't know, man. Hey, kid.
I know, but that's what's weird. Like, so you're saying, like, oh yeah, he pitched great. He gave it 2 runs, right? But then, of course, The other guy, Clayton Kershaw, gave him one.
The other guy.
So,
yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, so overall, it'll be interesting to track this because, you know, Bumgarner hadn't even won a game yet this year. He hadn't been pitching too poorly, you know, 3.0 ERA. But a lot of people are lamenting, oh, my God, what are we going to do without Bumgarner? And it is bad. I don't think it's going to be bad in the sense of if Ty Block replaces him, I don't think he's going to be too much worse than Bumgarner. The issue becomes their length of their bullpen, or not their bullpen, not, although that's part of the equation. But they had a little bit of wiggle room with Ty Block backing up a Matt Cain or Jeff Samardzija or whoever went down. Well, their ace went down. So Ty Block has to replace their ace. So if anyone else goes down, they're screwed. And that's the problem. So if they just don't have depth in that starting rotation with Bumgarner out. And so it remains to be seen what's going to happen over the next 6 to 8 weeks. But that could be a huge factor if you know, Samardzija keeps giving up gopher balls and you know, Matt Moore melts down or someone gets hurt. And so that's the issue, because then you got to get another starter, and who do you go with? You go with, you bring up Beedy. Do you go with a Stratton who's in the pen right now? It's a big unknown.
Stratton, yeah, we don't have a fallback guy right now, really. So
no, Stratton was my thought, is the guy who, if Samardzija or Cain or Block is having a bad day, Stratton, he ate up three innings the other day. I think he's the guy that's going to eat up those innings that Block would have had there, but I'm not sure they want him to start. They seem to like him in a bullpen role.
They do like him right now, yeah. Well, he is a former first-round draft pick that, you know, has had a couple of tough years, but he's been showing stuff. He's hitting 95, 96. He's showing command right now.
I saw some crazy stat the other day that the Giants have, like, six first-round draft picks on their roster right now. You got Matt Cain, Christian Arroyo, Buster Posey, Chris Stratton. Who am I missing? There's like two other that are number one, that are first round draft picks on the Giants. It's got to be the most in baseball. I mean, we all know the first round picks don't always shake out, and it's like five homegrown first round picks at least that the Giants have on the roster. Might be six or seven.
Right. Oh, can we talk about homegrown, by the way? Because after we got rid of Duffy, it was kind of the homegrown infield was gone again. But now it's back. It's back.
It yeah.
We got Arroyo. And
we got the new
Crawford,
Duffy.
Panic, Belt, and Posey. We got all five positions homegrown again. So that's, I don't know, something kind of nice about that, a little poetic. So, you know, may not turn into anything positive, but at least it's nice to think about instead of Eduardo Nunez at third base.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. Like, I kind of like Nunez, but it's sad, like, just not watching him not really prosper. Because watching him run around the bases is quite a joy.
Oh, Gorky's is up. Let's see what he does.
Oh, cool. How many people on base? How many outs can he get?
There's two outs, so hopefully he doesn't ground into a triple play.
Oh, he can only get one, statistically. All right.
All right, let's talk about who's hot. Obviously, we talked about Matt Cain, 2.42 ERA. He's got two wins. I mean, he's been just absolutely incredible, completely out of the woodwork. No one thought this was going to happen except maybe Matt Cain himself and Bruce Bochy. You know, everybody was calling for his head, saying there's no way he should start the season as a number five starter, put in Ty Block. But he's completely proving the naysayers incorrect so far. And so he's got a long leash on him now. He already had a long leash, but now I think it's even longer. So even if he has three bad starts in a row, I think Bochy's going to stick with him because, like the aforementioned depth of the starters, they don't really have anyone else they're going to go to.
No. He's been phenomenal. He's saved so much. I was surprised they pulled him for the hammy the other night, which is good, though, because they're looking long-term. I'm sure it was a tryout for him these first few starts, and now Bochy, you know, you said, you know, maybe only him and Bochy. I don't even think Bochy had these kind of expectations on him. It was kind of just see what Matt has left in the tank. It's been wonderful to watch, though. We've been kind of the naysayers as well, but not, like, negative. You see how defensive everybody gets when Cain, like, ha-ha, you know, suck on that. Everybody who says Cain is done. We're just reacting to what we see with our eyes. It's not like we're saying, oh, you know, screw Matt Cain. We love the freaking guy. Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, if he hadn't been pitching well, he hadn't been pitching well. Now he is. You know, the results, they matter.
Yeah, as Giants fans, too, I think we're a little sensitive to holding on to pitchers too long after the Lincecum saga. You know, it was just like you fall in love with a guy and then you just, every time he comes out, you just want the best. And then you just keep getting your heart broken like over and over. It's like keeping a relationship going with a girl too long Every time you go out, you remember why it sucks. And then you like get home, you're like, I'm going to call her again. You know?
Yeah.
And that's just bad. Like, just don't, we shouldn't be doing that.
Why didn't I tell myself before? I should have stopped myself.
Yeah. You actually show up at the date and you're like, oh God, she's droning on and on again. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's that whole time.
This better lead to something. This better be.
Time makes the heart grow fonder.
She's so
man.
Hot. This time it'll be different.
I know it's been the same for the last 6 years, but I know it's going to be different this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then every
Strickland.
Now and then you go to San Diego and it's great, and then you come back.
That gas lamp district was just fantastic. Oh man, remember that one time?
Yeah.
So Hunter Strickland, Mr. Gopher Ball himself, Mr. He tried to hit this cheese. Surprisingly, he has not given up a run yet this year. So,
yeah,
got to put him officially on the Who's Hot list. He still looks a little shaky, some of his appearances, but hey, the proof is in the pudding so far. So it's a good thing. We know he's going to run into a couple here where he's gonna give up a couple of untimely gopher balls, but he's doing well right now. So maybe he's maturing or maybe he's just gotten lucky. I don't know. But
well, have we played the Nationals yet?
Because
when the Nationals come to town, and
yeah, is it playoffs? Has
keep him in the bullpen.
Has he given up 7 home runs in the playoffs yet? God, that was horrible that one year.
His slider looks better. That's part.
It does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that he can't rely just you know hit my 97 every time. I mean, these are major league hitters. They know how to hit 97. So you know, yeah. If he mixes it up a little bit more,
that's what I couldn't believe about that maturity. Series. Was I was like. Like you're getting tattooed by this. You do realize throwing fastballs right down the middle isn't a good strategy, right? Against, you know, guys
against
like
you and me and Eric. Yeah. Great strategy.
Yeah.
Gets major
I don't
leaders,
know. I
not
think
so
I
much.
Can catch up to 96, 97. One.
Give me a few weeks with a bat practicing against that. I'll catch up.
Maybe I can bunt foul it or something. That's about it.
I mean, I won't bomb it out of the park, but I'll make some contact. I'll foul it off.
Yeah, 1 out of 10 ain't bad, you know. Just close your eyes and swing,
the
you might run into
everybody
one.
Everybody can hit a fastball, you know what I mean? It sounds weird, but everybody can. They wouldn't be where they are if they couldn't.
That's exactly. True.
But his slider, though, does look like one of those sliders that if he figures it out exactly, like that could be an unhittable pitch, especially when you're thinking about the fastball. So that's like the key to those guys with those sliders.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, they compare it with a dope fastball, too, it's like you can't. You can't like load up on either pitch, right? Because you're just gonna have to go up there and just see ball, hit ball, and that's super good against major league hitters who love looking. If they can't do it, then that just takes away so much of their advantage.
Oh, Gorky's got the walk to allow Matt Moore to come up with 2 outs. So
nothing's sweet.
Okay, so
that's actually that moves. Yeah, that gets us the one.
It gets
hole
the lead off
the next
inning.
Week,
yeah. Yeah, right. So it looks like it might be the end of five.
By the
here.
Way,
Dodgers.
Oh, God, I hate the designated hitter so much, and I hate living here in Texas where both teams are American League.
Oh,
and everybody
yeah.
thinks that the designated hitter is better, and I'm like, you guys aren't even watching baseball. All right, that's all right. I just had to get that out. All right.
No, I get it. We're all against it. Well, no, I shouldn't say
stuff.
That.
No,
I think
no, we're not all against it.
Eric likes it. Eric likes it.
Yeah. I love it. So we don't have time to get into this.
No, we won't. But Eric and I have had arguments on this podcast about this, Willie, with your absence, and it's been bad. It's been bad. I don't want him on the podcast anymore.
This is
actually.
Like Tarek. This is the
well, yeah.
It's like he's a Republican.
A
wait, what?
He's put a 26th man on the roster. It's not like I'm trying to take a job away from somebody.
Sure. Okay. You're just trying. Yeah. You're trying to give jobs to people who don't deserve them. I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm just doing my part. I mean, ESPN's firing people everywhere, so people need
That's
jobs.
That's true. That's true. They did. They did fire a couple of former players as well who were probably making their living now.
Yeah, just
as,
a few too many
as analysts. But you know what was surprising about that whole ESPN thing? Did you guys talk about that yet?
No, but I tweeted about it last night. That was insane. Over 100.
So yeah, so ESPN fired like 100 people who are all on-air contributors, right? And I was just like, how many people do they have on it? Like, I get it that they're a 24-hour channel that's got to talk about news all the time or you know sports all the time, but like Jesus, that's a lot of people to be on the air.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Like, I think that's probably they just didn't need that many people.
No, it's way too many.
Oh,
Yeah, like, how many people go on air on CNN? Like, sure, like, every now and then you'll bring in, like, your talking heads, right? Like, here's our six people.
Well, you never watched CNN, huh?
Yeah, but they got rid of guys like Ed Werder and Jason Stark and some pretty big names.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Yeah. Jamie Sayer was on.
Yeah,
the list.
Jamie Sayer's gone. She was the reporter here in the Bay Area for a while, and then she's been the last 4 years the Support Center AM anchor. So she's out of there.
Jamie Sayer. Yeah.
No, she's cute. She's like a little elf, you know, on TV.
Did you know she's like 38 years old? I thought she was.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, I thought she was like early 20s. She looks.
I thought she was too.
That's all I'm saying. She looks good.
Yeah, no, I saw. She used to cover Giants games, and so we'd go down to the dugout, and I would see her, and I was like, "Wow, she's fairly attractive." I didn't realize that she was that old. What do you know?
She's put the work in, man.
Hope for the 43-year-old like myself.
We'll revisit this whole DH thing at some point in the future.
Yeah, not today.
No, I'm down to have this conversation. I could see both sides. I just things like this though. You don't talk about this in the American League. That's all I'm saying. Like, oh, the pitcher got up this inning. That means we get to the one hole next inning. You don't care about that American League. No, you're like, whatever.
True. That's not a discussion that they're having on the Orioles podcast.
Exactly. No. Yeah, and I'm like, now that the Astros are American League. Texas is 100%.
100%. 100% American League. All right, so wrapped up Who's Not Hot. We don't have to talk about this because we already dove into it. But Posey at 370, Morse, of course, coming up in his magical home run, his first AB to tie the game last night. And Christian Arroyo, first start, the next night he has first ML hit, and then the next night, last night, he hits a home run that pulls him within one. So and he's made some fantastic defensive plays as well. And literally picked up Matt Cain after he got hit in the shin by a line drive. So he's had quite an amazing first three games of his major league career. I think we all would just love to live in his shoes right now because what a magical feeling that must be for him this week.
Well, now he's probably not grinding anymore, right? And not feeling like he needs to – because he isn't hitting like well yet necessarily. But getting a home run kind of feels like, okay. I could do that. I could do that in the big leagues, right?
I don't think this kid was grinding much anyways. He doesn't seem to have it. They were talking about it on the broadcast last night. When he first came to the minors, when he first got into professional ball, he said he tried to hit a home run on every swing. And it took him about half the year to figure out that's not how it works. And so he's trying to go with pitches. He'll go to the right side and stuff like that. I think he's just not... grinding
normal
is
baseball stuff, right? You
know, yeah, it is. It really is normal baseball stuff. That's why I'm really high on him, is I think that his numbers will even out, not because, like, oh, you know, he had a tough start. I think it's just baseball stuff that he's been running into.
There's a lot of pressure all the time.
Right. I'm sure he was, you know, putting a lot of pressure on himself. It's funny, though, that his family didn't show up till Tuesday, and that's when he got his first hit. Oh, and then they were there last night for his first homer, and mom didn't spill a single nacho. It was awesome.
I know. Wasn't that funny?
Mom's not grinding either, huh? Mom's like, I knew that was going to happen.
Well, she didn't even believe him when he called and said he was getting called up.
Sure. She was like, I knew it was going to happen, but really? Right now?
Yeah, right.
He's like, have you seen the team I'm getting called up to, Mom? Yeah, they need me.
have you seen them? They might even use you, Mom.
Yeah, you want
to say them. I'm right ahead of you on the depth chart.
You cover ground in left field.
You got a glove and some eye black? Let's go, Mom. Let's do this.
We can platoon at third. Oh, God. Unbelievable. All right. Well, guys, I got to get out of here, so we got to wrap this up.
Sure.
Can't go too far into the new favorite guy, but I do like Arroyo. Eric, you like Matt Cain, of course.
And I'll just say Michael Morse.
Yeah, Michael Morse.
That's
my
why
God.
I took Cain, so you could get Morse, Willie.
No, we talked about him at the top of the podcast, and just seeing this guy, he's like a little kid out there. He embodies what we all believe baseball should be played like, as far as passion and everything. The guy was out of baseball. He didn't think he had a shot left. Here he has a shot. So, I mean, it's just fantastic to see him relive this like a kid. So I said,
you guys didn't hear me say this, but I said this, that I wasn't coming back to the show until Michael Morse was a Giant again. So
boom,
here we
there
are.
You go.
Yeah.
So if he gets demoted next week, that's it, you're done?
No, now I'll stay. I mean,
okay. Fine, we're going to actually have you on a few podcasts. That's good.
But I was on unofficial strike until Michael Morris got back to the big leagues.
Gotcha.
Damn, I would have called Bobby Evans sooner, man.
I know, right? We need Willie back. Call him up.
Yeah. Come on, send Michael Morris to Hunter Pence's wedding. You guys should have been at Hunter Pence's wedding making the case for him, too.
The talent this guy has. I mean, come on. We should hate this guy, of course. I'm just going to say the Rockies because they should not be this good. They should not have beat the Giants this much. And I hate fucking Colorado and Coors Field. That's it.
Sure.
Just done. I hate it.
Sure.
It
does.
I said Corey Seager just because, you know, he's the next big superstar, and we've seen it the last couple of days. You know, he's the one Dodger that's going to kill us for a while. So, I mean,
yeah, his 23rd birthday today, and he hit a home run, and they're still leading 1-0. So he's
so I'm gonna do a special one. And I'm gonna add a little bit. So it's we should hate this guy's clothes, and it's Sergio Romo. I'm not gonna hate the guy, but I'm gonna hate the clothes he's wearing.
Just the clothes. I like that. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
It was so weird. And I was really happy that the fans cheered him. That was great because that was the right response.
It was a very warm welcome for him. And even though Arroyo hit the bomb off of him, which was kind of cathartic in a certain way for me personally.
Nice. Yeah.
But the guy's struggling this year. He's got over a 90 ERA, so I don't want him to fail.
No, absolutely.
But failing as the Giants is fine.
I want him to fail as a Dodger, but not as a human being. So
yes, yeah, there
it's
you go.
Tough. But it's he had that whole thing. He wrote the whole please don't hate me. Like I still love the Giants stuff last year, when the move actually happened, and you know, and he wasn't like a dick about any of this.
No, not at all. Yeah. We talked
but
about
so
it.
Some guys in the past have been dicks about it. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he's also showing so far why the Giants didn't want to.
Yeah, why he didn't fit anymore. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yep. All right, so upcoming, they got the game today, which they're losing 1-0 in the fifth, but then they have 3 versus San Diego at home. Looks like I'm probably going to go to the game on Saturday. It's a Matt Cain start, so hopefully that turns into a win. That'll be my first coverage of the year. And then they go on the road. I'll be in the box, it looks
like.
All right,
man. Well, I should be planning a trip out to SF probably in June or July. So
keep me informed
about
that.
Let's set up some box
time. Absolutely, man. Always good to have some box time with Willie. All right.
Get some drinks afterwards. Can't go to our old haunt. But, you know.
No longer is there a Zeke's, but that's okay. We got other places to haunt. So then they got 3 in L.A., and they got a really long road trip after that. So it looks like we're going to probably try and record Monday night, get back to our regular schedule. But we're going to discuss as a podcast crew to see if another day may work for us. But until then, you can follow us collectively at Torchcast on Twitter and like us on Facebook at the same address as well. Individually, you can follow us at ChadK21 for myself, Willie at Willie Dills, Eric at 2OutHits, that's with the number 2, and Ben, who's working today, at Fried Duck. So hopefully they pull out 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers and turn this ship around. So we'll join you next time for episode 121. Until then, this is Chad, Willie, and Eric saying adios. Until next time. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.